Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Welcome on in to the Sports Hub, a Monday installment of it on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. A loaded weekend that was in high school and college and pro action. We'll get to that here in just a few short moments, as well as the jump, a loaded weekend and the Friday Night Lights. Also had some high school volleyball over the weekend, and one of the longest win streaks in the country continues. More details about that in the jump here in just a few. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra here on a Monday. How was your weekend, sir? How's your Monday going so far?
Good, good. Victory Monday. Glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a Victory Monday. Vikings fans, a nice win there yesterday for them over the Bengals as the Wentz wagon makes its first trip. I did not see that coming. I thought that'd be a pretty close game, maybe even down to the fourth quarter. Saw a lot of those games yesterday in the NFL. Week three was bananas. I mean, yeah. Special teams were just nuts all over the place. Vikings was a complete snooze fest, and the Vikings fans would say, I'm okay with that. 48-10, sign me up.
Stress-free Sunday for Vikings fans. As for a lot of the other teams in the NFL, wasn't the case. I mean, it was a pretty good game for your team as well there on Sunday afternoon.
Very much stress-free. I appreciate those games. So apparently, yes, Pete Carroll, you can win a game in the first quarter. It's a nice little change of pace when you get up 21-0 and you can put the cruise control on. Same thing with the Vikings. So, yeah, Victory Monday for the local squads there as well. You had the Northern State Wolves pick up a nice 31-10 win. And if we're being honest, it really wasn't that close. I mean, the Wolves won the ball game by 21 points. My dad said the exact same thing when I got home on Saturday. He goes, boy, they really felt like they controlled that game from the jump, and they did. And they got off to a great start offensively, defensively. Special teams was clicking for them as well. So it's a Victory Monday. It feels good, doesn't it?
It really does. The Wolves were absolutely dominant there on Gypsy Days. We'll probably talk more about the game, electric atmosphere. And Mike Schmidt, I was listening to him post-game, and he was definitely happy with how the team played. And, you know, he was asked about, hey, CSP was racking up some yards in the fourth quarter and things of that, and he said, hey, Graf could have threw for 600 yards. The game was pretty much out of reach at that point. That's how well they played the first three and a half quarters of that game. The game was completely out of reach, and now you gear up for two road tests here coming up.
Absolutely. You've got UMary coming up this Saturday and then on the road at Bemidji's place in 2 weeks. So we'll talk about that at length with the Wolves of Northern State here in just a bit. He is Matt McClure. We call him the Cobra. Let's go ahead and get to the jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll kind of leave the Northern State talk towards the bottom of the hour, back half of the show, and hit on a lot of high school stuff here as well in our first segment coming up in just a bit. But first and foremost, the jump from the weekend, and you hit the nail on the head. It was a wild week three in the National Football League for sure. Special teams all over the place had blocked field goals, returned for touchdowns, game-winning field goals at the wire. I mean, week three yesterday, with the exception, again, of those Seahawks and Vikings games, was very entertaining.
Really was. How about the comeback from the Browns? Down 10-0, and they scored 13 unanswered points to win that one. You mentioned the block field goal. The Philadelphia Eagles, they looked dead to rights in the first half. They come storming back. They have two block field goals in that game. Really just a wild Sunday in the NFL. A couple games that felt like they were snooze fests, and then all of a sudden the fourth quarter would come back and you're like, oh, wait, we got a one-score game here. The Jets game,
yes,
as well against the Bucks. That game was pretty much over. Next thing you know, you see the Jets block a field goal and take it back to the house and take the lead. And then there you go again with the Bucks and Baker Mayfield. They've won three games this year with, like, trailing and having the ball to score, and they've won all three. They're 3-0. So a lot of, like, snooze fest through the first three quarters, and then the fourth quarter came, and you saw some wild finishes in the NFL.
Yeah, I was gearing up for the Seahawks and Jets game, and up in the corner of the screen, I was like, the Jets are beating the Bucs? What?
How'd that happen?
They were by three touchdowns like a minute ago. But, yeah, a wild, wild week three in the National Football League for sure. Also, a wild week in college football. I don't know if you saw some of the scores from across the country, regardless of level. Let's go to the NAIA side of things. St. Ambrose, of course, that's the school that Presentation College, when they closed down, they kind of worked in conjunction with St. Ambrose, so it kind of has a bit of a very, very, very distant local flair to it.
Okay.
St. Ambrose, they beat William Woods, Missouri over the weekend, 82-5.
That's definitely scoregami.
Definitely a scoregami, for sure. 82-5. You had Coast Guard defeat Nichols over the weekend, 92-60.
Oh, boy.
How does that even happen?
I'm not exactly sure how that one happens.
Coast Guard led 35-14 after the first quarter. They put up 29 points in the second. They had a really bad third quarter. They got outscored 13-7. And then the fourth quarter, they outscored Nichols 21-19. The numbers are just astronomical. Nichols threw for 580 yards as a team. Coast Guard threw for 398. Total yards, I mean, the kickoffs, my goodness gracious. Kickoff yardage, 735 for Coast Guard. Their quarterback, his name is Sean Burns. He was 20 for 24 for 384 yards, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions. Harrison Hensley running the ball, 18 carries for 153 and 4 scores if you need them.
Jeez.
Brock Desta, 6 receptions for 158 and 2 touchdowns. Ian Snow, quarterback there for Nichols in a loss. 28 of 44, 580 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, and you lose by 32 points. Can you imagine throwing 7 touchdowns in a football game and your team loses by 32 points?
You put up 60 points on offense and you still lose by 32.
That makes no sense.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable stuff. So pretty crazy there with Nichols. And oh, by the way, we talk about the longest high school, or one of the longest nation's longest winning streaks going on right now. I'm talking about Harrisburg, of course. Harrisburg, right here in the good old-fashioned Mount Rushmore State. They continue. They were out in Nevada this last weekend at that Las Vegas Classic. They went a perfect 3-0. They defeated Marymount, that's a team from California, in straight sets. Now, Marymount is 16-2 on the season, and they made absolute mincemeat of them. So I kind of joked last year, oh, geez, Louise, is Harrisburg ever going to lose a game ever again? I don't think they're going to. They're just going to keep winning.
Hey, they could play teams in any state, it seems like. They're going to win. And that's why when they do lose, it's going to be monumental, whenever that is.
It's going to be the biggest story in South Dakota volleyball,
yes,
this season, because they just completely dominate everybody. They played Marymount, Redwood, Los Alamitos, and Village Christian, and they did lose one game.
Okay, but they did lose one.
They lost one game, but not the match.
Wow.
So they still won the match, and they beat Village Christian 9-14. They beat Redwood 25-16, so very competitive first set there, but
jeez,
man, I tell you what, that Harrisburg team in Class AA, pretty good.
Yeah, safe to say the team to beat in AA, I guess. It's like anybody that's trying to make the playoffs in the state tournament, hey, avoid that team. Just try to avoid that team.
Please avoid the 8 seed like the plague.
Yes. That's what Aberdeen Central's trying to do.
Absolutely. I mean, Central, they played okay against them, but you're not going to beat Harrisburg. No one's going to beat Harrisburg.
Here's my thing. You might get a game against them, but you're not winning 3 from what I've seen the last 2+ years.
No. Their next...
Have they been in five at all this year?
Nope. No. They've played one four-setter. They won that. And their next most, my guess, competitive matchup on paper is Sioux Falls-Lincoln. That's coming up on Thursday. They're 7-3. But they're taking on Western Christian. That's a squad out of Nebraska. And then Omaha Scut Catholic. Don't know much about those squads, but, I mean, typically, you're talking Nebraska volleyball. They're
sure.
They're pretty good.
Yes.
So, I mean, they may lose one of those two, maybe, but, geez Louise, they're
it's
on
insane.
A whole
they're
level.
Just scheduling teams from just out of the state now.
You have to.
Yeah.
Nobody else is even making you sweat.
Exactly. It's crazy how dominant they have been. That win streak is just going to continue. And like you said, it's going to be monumental whenever that streak is broken, but who knows when that's going to be.
I have no idea. So pretty wild stuff there from Harrisburg, and want to wish them nothing but the best of luck going forward. I don't think they need luck, but nevertheless. Finally, got to toss this out there. This popped up on my social media feed over the weekend. Division 3 football can be very, very interesting. And there is a player by the name of Thomas, I'm going to go with Cililo, C-I-L-L-O, Cililo.
Okay.
And he plays for Lycoming College.
Sounds made up.
58-year-old freshman defensive lineman. Back in the day, he quit high school, kind of had his life fall apart a little bit. He did some drugs back in the day, but now he's worked his way back to college, worked in the city streets and parks department for the last 33 years. He is fulfilling his dream of being a college football player, Thomas Cililo, 58 years old.
I did see this story. Pretty neat. Pretty neat for sure, but also, you're 58 years old. I mean, that's insane. But shout out to him, though, for living a dream.
Finding a way to get that job done
yeah.
and fulfilling that dream. Very, very interesting for sure. All right, some high school football from the weekend. We'll unpack the Friday Night Lights coming up here in just a bit. We'll talk about Gypsy Days at length as well. Plus, the Wolves volleyball squad, they were on the road this last weekend as they had their opening a pair of matches in the NSIC. We'll talk about all of that and much more coming up on the Sports Hub on FSA. We're rocking and rolling on a Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Big shout out to the folks down south there in Warner. How about the hospitality? Rolling out the red carpet there for the folks of Falkton there from this last Friday night as the Trojans and the Titans do it up there at Dial of North Field there, or Bank North Dial of Move Field. Sorry. Oh, man.
It's That's a mouthful.
It's been a weekend, and I've had, I'm sorry, I'm going to give people too much information here, but I've had the flu all weekend, and it popped up again last night, and I've just got little to no sleep. I've had, like, no coffee since Thursday. I'm battling. I am trying to find a way to battle through this week. It's a crazy busy week anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to stay hydrated over here. It's been a couple of days for yours truly, but I'm here. That's about all I can ask for.
Yeah, I mean, very busy schedule. What, NSU volleyball opener tomorrow, and then on the road football Friday or Saturday. So
yeah
I mean, just I was looking at the schedule this week. I mean, we got a loaded schedule on the local sports front with broadcasts and video streams.
We sure do. High school volleyball, wall to wall. The Aberdeen Wings are in Blaine, Minnesota for the showcase. Just check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for the full game schedule for sure. We are loaded, jam-packed. And speaking of which, the Wings are going to have a play featured, I think, on the 605 Top 5 Plays of the Week, so keep an eye out for that at some point today, some point in time today on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. But you had Falkton all over Leola Frederick there on Friday, as I didn't realize that Falkton had about 4 inches of rain from this last week, and that's going to do wonders on a grass field. So they roll out the red carpet there in Warner on, of course, that artificial turf, the field turf, as it were. Falkton beats up on Leola Frederick 37-0. Landon Coyle, 16 carries, 70 yards for him in 3 scores. I was listening to a little bit of that broadcast with Ryan, and during the pregame show, he was talking about the keys to the game, brought to you by the Aberdeen Chrysler Center, and he said, hey, if you're Leola Frederick, you have to slow down Coyle. Well, easier said than done. He found the promised land three times there as Faulkton. They up their record now to 2-2, and it doesn't get any easier for them as they bring in Sully Buttes this upcoming Friday. Note the start time. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff, okay? Not a 7 o'clock kickoff, but a 3 o'clock kickoff there at the Gary Cunningham Sports Complex, weather permitting. I should think they should be fine because we're supposed to have nothing but sun all week long. But nice win there for the Trojans, getting back to their winning ways.
Yeah, I was just going to say, get back game for the Trojans of Faulkton, 37-0, and just dominant from start to finish. Coyle did his thing on the ground with three touchdowns, and they had a really tough start to the schedule. I mentioned it on Friday. He played Ipswich, he played Harriet Selby, he played Warner. All those teams are either ranked or receiving votes. And now you get ready for Sully Buttes on Friday afternoon, a rematch of the Dome game last year in 9B. So you know they're going to be jacked up for it. You have it on your home turf, hopefully. Hopefully everything kind of gets evaporated with the sun all week long, and they get that game in. But shout out to Faulkton getting back on track there against a pretty solidly old Frederick team that was coming in at 2-2 into that game, but they just controlled the line of scrimmage, and they were able to get a win.
All right, so that'll be a 3 o'clock kickoff between Faulkton and Sully Buttes. Ryan Martin on the call over on KSD at 930 and 102.1. We were talking about this up in the HKG Architecture broadcasting booth during the Northern game. Mobridge Pollock, they are looking like a team that may have Vermilion in their crosshairs. We'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. Still a long ways to go in the season. Well, not even. We're at the kind of the high water mark here, the midway portion of the season. So they're playing some really good football. The Tigers are. They were all over Webster on Friday night, 50-0. Their offense has been clicking on all cylinders, and their defense has been putting up goose eggs left and right.
Yeah, they've outscored their opponents 152-7 the last 3 weeks against Miller, Aberdeen Roncalli, and then Webster 50-0. Schedule's been pretty light throughout the year. They haven't played a team with a winning record all year. So they play Belle Fouche next or this week, Friday. They're 1-3. Lead Deadwood 0-4, and then they play some tough ones at the end of the year. Clark Willow Lake on the road at Clark, and then they're back home against Duell to end the year. So I think we'll learn a little bit more about this team when they play, you know, Clark Willow Lake and Duell towards the later part of the year. But they're humming right now, and they're just trying to take care of business, which they've done. I mean, 152-7 speaks for itself.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of Sully Buttes last year in Class B. It was just like Sully Buttes hadn't beaten anybody all year. They were very, very, very little battle-tested all season long. I know some of the folks out in Sully Buttes may say, hey, come on, give us a little bit of credit. Well, look at your schedule. It hadn't beaten much of anybody all last year,
yep.
And they totally fly under the radar, and then they just bollywomp everybody on their way to a state championship. I did not see that coming last year.
I don't think this team's going to be under the radar, though, just because of the athletes that they got at running back, receiver, the defensive side of the ball. Like, they're obviously 4-0. I just don't think they're going to be sneaking up on teams, and they got two tough matchups towards the end of the year. I think that'll help them come playoff time. But yeah, they're just taking care of business. This is the first of a four straight on the road for Mobridge Pollock. And then they, like I said, return home to the end of the year. Weird schedule for them. The first three at home, and then the next four on the road, and then they wrap up at home.
The first win for Sully Buttes last year against a team that had a winning record came in the quarterfinals of the state tournament.
There you go.
Think about that for a second. It's like, well, we beat so... Hold on. This is what it says. You hadn't beaten anybody with a winning record until the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, they did what they did, and they won the whole thing. I'm not trying to take anything away from them, but they totally flew under the radar all season long last year.
And then they caught fire. You got to think they were probably one of the healthier teams of the playoffs because, you know, if you're beating teams throughout the year and you got big leads and you could sub out, you put your sophomores and maybe some of your JV guys in, you're feeling pretty good towards the end of the year compared to some other teams.
Yeah, not taking a shot at them. I'm just saying that's kind of the way it happened last year. They dominated just about everybody with the exception of Faulkton, and then they dominated Faulkton when it really, really mattered.
Absolutely.
In the Dome. All right, high school football continuing from the weekend that was. Duell was all over Groton, 20-0, your final score there, as the Cardinals defense just put the clamps down on the Groton offense. 0 points, they held Asher Johnson to just 17 yards passing. Gavin Close, 18 carries for 77 yards, plus an 80-yard pick six on defense there as well. Duell, they are for real.
Yeah, I like the Cardinals. I think they're stout on both sides of the ball. They got a big-time running back. I like their quarterback, Severs. And Gavin Close is the real deal. And I think he's going to take that team wherever they want to go this season. And they've been an opportune defense as well. Another pick six on defense. This is a defense that has three or four this year, and it's incredible to watch what they've been able to do on that side of the ball. They force turnovers. They run the ball. This is a tough team to beat.
And you also had Clark Willow Lake. They were all over Parker over the weekend as well, 34-13. Did not see any stats from that number or from that matchup. But tell you what, the Cyclones, with basically one hiccup, which they rectified against Sioux Valley, they have played very solid football there as well. Feels like 11B this year is kind of up for grabs. You've got a lot of really good teams in the mix. Mopo, Sioux Valley, Clark Willow Lake, of course, Elk Point Jefferson, St. Tommy's really good. Wagner's been a really good team now for a lot of years, and it feels like 11B is kind of a crapshoot right now.
Definitely a toss-up, and this Clark Willow Lake team is about as talented as any other of those teams. Big offensive line, a duo at running back. They got Emerson Larson. Mm-hmm. The quarterback, Reese, has been playing great all year as well. It's a deep team for Coach Severson, and that was a guy that I talked to at the beginning of the season. He had expectations going into this year. When you have 12 seniors, the expectation is high, and this is a team that learned how to win. 2 years ago weren't great. Last year they had a nice little step forward, and now you're sitting at 3-1 this year with a boatload of experience. Watch out for the Cyclone team.
Yeah, Duels also 4-0. Woonsocket, Westington Springs, Sanborn Central also 4-0. So a loaded 11B this year. Back to some nine-man football. You had North Central all over Northwestern. Keep an eye on this Jade Jacobs kid. He's been putting up numbers all season long. I know Northwestern is still kind of working their way back into being a competitive football team, but Jacobs, 24 carries for a buck 81, 2 touchdowns for him. I think he had a north of 200-yard rushing game earlier on this season, so I know North Central is probably not a dome team, but the Thunder have put up some pretty solid numbers this year.
Yeah, and they've been able to put up some points in every single game they played this year. Won that game against Timberlake week 3, at home there on September 5th. They put up a fight against Loyola Frederick and then bounce back at home against a Northwestern team obviously struggling. But this team has been very competitive this year. They lost to Lemon McIntosh by a point to start the year week 0. They lost by 8 to Dupree. So you got to be happy if you're North Central with how you're competing.
Yeah, sitting at 2-3 right now are the Thunder. Elsewhere, you had Elkton, Lake Benton all over Great Plains Lutheran, 48-0. Hamlin, they skunk Florence Henry, 55-0. You had Del Rapids defeat Milbank, 36-7. Big game from Ryan Stuby on the ground, 9 carries, 60 yards, and 3 scores. Elsewhere, Sully Buttes, they shut out Gettysburg, 30-0. Platt Geddes big over Woolsey Wessington, 42-14. Wabe Summit and Redfield, that was a very competitive matchup on paper. Turned out to be just that on the gridiron. 30-22 as Wabe Summit picks up the victory there. Redfield, they've been playing competitive football most of the season. I know they've had a couple of games here or there they'd like to maybe have back in terms of the final score, but they've been putting up about 22 points, feels like, pretty consistently all season long.
Yeah, they've been able to put up some points, too. So, I mean, they've struggled on defense this year. I'm looking here at their average, 14.4 points a game. That's way better than it was last year. And you're in a game where you're in overtime against a team that's also definitely hungry in Wabe Summit of getting a win. And you've mentioned it a time or two on this program. Those games are usually fun. And that one goes overtime. You have an opportunity to win it. If you're at your Redfield, you don't win it. But it's something to build on moving forward.
Elsewhere, you had Castlewood big over Wilmot, 56-19. The team collectively for the Warriors ran it 34 times for 448 yards. Sawyer Craig, 5 carries for 105 yards and a score there. Brody Bass with 3 touchdowns on 6 carries, 97 yards. And Iroquois Lake Preston, the Sharks, all over Sunshine Bible, 44-0. Your final scores there from Friday night within the region. Outside of that, Aberdeen Central, don't forget about them. They were way out west. They weren't even in the region. They were playing Spearfish over the weekend. They fell 21-6. Porter Lazinski, the highlight of the ball game for the Golden Eagles, a 21-yard touchdown run. Central, they've had a tough go this season getting their offense going. Defensively, they've been okay, but it feels like that's kind of been their Achilles heel the last couple of years has been offense.
Yep, and that's exactly right, too. Because going into the season, you know the defense is going to be stout. Big Felipe leading the defensive line. A lot of guys that were on that D-line from a season ago, and it's a good defense. It's just been the last couple of years. But the offense, they lack the explosive play, the big play. and they get in sometimes third and long, and then you're it's an uphill battle. And that's the first time, by the way, I'm seeing here that the Golden Eagles lost to Spearfish since 2004. So they didn't play, haven't played every year since 2004, but that's the first time Spearfish has beaten them since 2004. So 0-4 start for Coach Breeze and the Golden Eagles. It's gut check time for them as they're trying to right the wrong this year. I mean, you got to start winning now if you want to have a chance to make the postseason.
High school golf from the weekend that was. You had the Mitchell Invite, Aberdeen Central collectively finishing in 16th place there out of 21 teams. For the Golden Eagles, Jackson Ravelette would finish in 53rd, a 10 over, 82 for him. Girls tennis action was canceled for the Friday night with Aberdeen Central hosting a try with Aberdeen Roncalli and Rapid City Stevens, but they were back in the mix there on senior day for the Golden Eagles as they were all over Peer and Aberdeen Roncalli alike, 9-0. Check out the individual match notes there on our website, hubcityradio.com. And also of note from the weekend that was, there was a lot of high school volleyball. We'll get to that here in just a second. High school cross country. You had Carson Urlacher, who's been just ripping up the competition in cross country. He won the Clyde Cotton 5K invite there with a time of 16 minutes and 4 seconds, beating Dane Stark of Watertown by about 3 seconds. You also had Eston Foss of Aberdeen Central finish in 8th, Max Nelson of the Golden Eagles finish in 10th place. So 3 of the top 10 finishers there were Golden Eagles. And for the girls, Allie Norvstrup of Aberdeen Central would finish collectively in 6th place. Grace Phillips of Chamberlain would finish in 1st in the 5K run. A lot of high school volleyball from the weekend. I'm not going to get all of these matches in and what have you. Check out hubcityradio.com. But just more solid notes from Miller and Hamlin alike. We talked with both head coaches of those respective programs earlier on this season, and both of them were kind of looking forward to this one. And Miller played Hamlin in that invite. Miller would win it in 3 sets. Again, these are games or matches that only play 3 sets. They're not playing of the full 5. And Miller would defeat Hamlin there in 3, winning the 3rd and decisive set, 25-23. Paige Wirtle had 10 kills there. As in the 5th place contest, Miller would defeat Sisseton in the minimum, which would be 2. And you had the championship match at the Ipswich Subway invite. They would defeat Harriet Selby, Ipswich would, in 3 sets. Marley Guthmiller with 20 kills and 16 digs in 3 sets, which goes to show if you're playing 4 or 5, her numbers might have been, you know, off the charts or something like that. But she continues to really thump the lumber. She had 13 kills in wins over Lemon and Milbank as well. So check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details as these little tournaments and invites and what have you, they always go 3, not to 5. But very interesting volleyball from the weekend that was.
Yeah, and I think it's just a great opportunity to play in these invites. A lot of teams there. You can see where you are with some of the other competition. Yes, it's not a 5-setter, and it's not what you're used to, but these quick little hitters, these three best of three matches, they can go pretty fast if you're not on your A game. I mean, you see a lot here. I mean, you mentioned Miller. They beat Sisseton in that 5th place game, 11-7. I mean, that's a very quick match. So if you're not on your P's and Q's early, something like that could happen.
It's like playing intergender softball. Guys are always just one strike behind.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that. I did that in college. It's like, all right, count's 0-1. What do you mean it's 0-1?
What?
I already have a strike against me? What is this?
It's like, when that happens, if you foul it off, are you striking out too?
I think so, yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't very athletically inclined with softball anyway, so I'm like, screw this. I'm already a strike behind. I'm done. So that's a whole other story. All right, we'll talk about the Aberdeen Wings, some college volleyball as well as some college football as well. Northern State, they had Gypsy Days from the weekend, and they put together a really solid 60 minutes of ball. We'll talk about all of that and more coming up on The Hub. Sports Hub continues on a recap Monday. You were talking about football Sundays. We got to have like a name for like Monday.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll used to have Tell the Truth Monday when he was the head coach for the Seahawks. Probably still does that with the Raiders now.
Monday morning quarterback, I know that's a big one.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably already copyrighted.
Yep, 100%.
But we'll think of something. We'll think of something. But some high school news and notes. I guess technically it's not high school, but it probably is, I guess. The Wings, they're not a high school team, but NAHL, and it's interesting because I think it was last year, head coach Scott Langer was saying, you know, they're trying to kind of start a rivalry with us here a little bit, talking about the Watertown Shamrocks. And what's that old expression? Is the series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. And that I never understood that expression. Makes zero sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really a series until Watertown wins it, I guess. I don't know, because the Wings have been all over the Shamrocks. They did it again this last weekend, 6-1 on Friday at the Odie, and then 6-3 there in the town that was Water, 6-3 there as Owen Pitters and Jibber Cool each finding the back of the rope. And I think Cy was saying that, or maybe it was you that you were talking to Cy, that like mm-hmm. it's going to be kind of a work in progress on offense.
Yes.
It's a small sample size, but you know, 12 goals in two games, as Bart Simpson would say, that ain't not bad.
Yeah, pretty dominant effort from the Wings, and it's just a matchup thing at this point. It's even, I'd even say psychological at this point, because this is, what, 10 straight wins against the Watertown Shamrocks, the 8 last year. If you count the exhibition games, mm-hmm. it's 12 now. I mean, it's just, it doesn't matter if it's a shootout, overtime, in regulation, the Wings are beating the Watertown Shamrocks, it seems like. And Owen Pitters with two goals there on Saturday night. They win that one 6-3. They got down in that game, came back. This is a team, I think it's still going might be a work in progress offensively from what Cy said on Friday, but they're very confident in what they have on the back end. The goaltending, they got some returning guys there, the defense. This Wings team has 10 returners from last year's team. I feel like you just do not see that in the NAHL, just because of the turnover of rosters and guys going on to play at the next level or things of that. So, I mean, could be a really good team this year.
Yeah, Dyball's back in between the pipes there as well. And, oh, by the way, I think he got the best head coach in all of the land.
No doubt about
that. They're on the sidelines as well. So, yeah, expectations, I think. And remember last year they went undefeated at the showcase, and it's like that's the first time that's ever happened. Obviously, that starts up this week, but different team from last year, but they're playing some different competition this year at the showcase.
Team USA U17, I saw was on the schedule.
Yeah, the development team.
That's different.
That's definitely out there, so we'll see how it all plays out. That's, I think, on Friday?
Friday night, I think.
Yeah, I want to say 6:15 for that one, so it'll be a 3 o'clock puck drop against the Ice Dogs. That'll be on Saturday. Wisconsin Wendigo on Wednesday to get things underway. So check out our website, hubcityradio.com. It's all there for the Aberdeen Wings. And if you want Wings tickets, give us a call, 605-229-3632, as the Wings will, of course, be in Blaine this upcoming week. That'll be in Minnesota. As for the Wolves of Northern State, on the volleyball side of things, they got their NSIC play underway, and they had a couple of four-set losses on the road this last weekend. They fell to Winona in four sets, losing the first set kind of uncompetitive, 25-14. You typically don't see that a whole heck of a lot from Northern State volleyball. I think they're going to be fine going forward, but you know, the NSIC is a different animal. There's no two ways about it. They did fall in four to Winona as well as CSP. Linnea Nesheim had 12 kills, Natalia Shabinska with 11, Ava Nilsson, 38 set assists and 12 digs for the double-double loss there on Friday. Then on Saturday against Concordia St. Paul, from what I gather, I think the Wolves have only won in the Twin Cities once before, judging from the stat sheet that I saw. And that's just a tough place to play going to CSP. And, you know, the Golden Bears are a top 25 ranked team in the country for a reason. I mean, the Wolves are too, don't get me wrong, but CSP has just kind of had their number out there. Natalia Shabinska had 25 terminations in the loss, but just didn't get a whole lot of extra help. Abby Brooks did have 8 kills and 4 blocks. Ava Nilsson, another double-double, 46 set assists and 14 digs in the loss, but the Wolves go down swinging in four sets to the Golden Bears. The good news, though, for the Wolves is they return home tomorrow as they'll welcome in Jamestown for the first time ever as a member of the NSIC, and they'll also see a familiar face, Corbin Menz, a player on that program. She's a Northern State transfer, as she had 4 kills and a loss against CSP there on Friday. Jamestown for them on Saturday, as I sift through my pages here, they would fall to Winona in four. So Corbin Menz had 12 kills and 16 digs in the loss. So both teams 0-2 in the NSIC. That'll be tomorrow. That'll be a 6 o'clock first serve with pre-match coverage at 5:30. Looking forward to that. And certainly competitive volleyball against two solid squads in Winona and CSP, but they just need a home match, man. They've been on the road for an eternity.
That's what I was going to say. Finally some home cooking this week. I mean, geez, they've been on the road for, it seems like, an eternity to start the year, and it's pretty tough when you open at Winona and then CSP the game after that, and they battled. They just weren't able to to win it. But Natalia Shabinska, I mean, 25 kills, that's definitely a big-time performance there on Saturday. But CSP, for whatever reason or the other, they just have NSU's number there in the Twin Cities.
And looking forward to that one tomorrow against Jamestown, again, at 5:30 with pre-match coverage, and first serve slated for 6 o'clock from Wax Arena. Northern State football from the weekend that was. We'll talk about that and much more after this on The Hub. Final segment for your Monday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Smash that like button, share the stream, helps us out with the algorithm. And, you know, I texted you last night before we get to the Northern stuff. I don't understand why the NFL doesn't have pass interference as a 15-yard penalty. The spot foul in the NFL is the biggest penalty that exists. Yep. In theory, you can have a 50-yard penalty like we saw in the Chiefs and Giants game last night. And I said to you, you mean to tell me that that is a more egregious penalty than a guy that just goes out like Vontaze Burfict and just spears somebody to helmet to helmet,
yep,
or something like that? That's a 15-yard penalty. In the NFL, you can have a guy that has a little bit too much contact with the balls in the air. That's a 50, that's half the football field. You mean to tell me that that's more of a hardcore penalty than a guy going helmet to helmet and not and trying to end somebody's career? That's insane to me.
It's insane, and it's the most deflating penalty if your favorite team's on defense.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's like, hey, we're stopping them all game long. Next thing you know, they throw a jump pass, 50-50 ball, and the defense gets called for pass interference. Next thing you know, they could be doing nothing all game. Next thing you know, of defensive pass interference, they're set up at the 2-yard line.
I'd say that is the most deflating, or a 3rd and 27, the illegal contact, 5-yard penalty, automatic first down.
That's a bad one, too. They need to take the illegal contact, 5-yard penalty, automatic first down is a joke, too.
Yeah, they've got some work to do. Will they ever do any of it? Probably not.
It's like a false start.
Yeah.
It's just move them back 5, or an offsides, you move them up 5. Why is the illegal contact automatic first down?
I don't know. Just another way the offense can, you know, get a leg up on the defense.
Secondary has no advantage because you got that penalty and defensive pass interference.
It's absolutely crazy. Northern State football from the weekend that was. Gypsy Days. The crowd was absolutely phenomenal. 7,011 people were there. Felt like even more than that, as the Wolves, they dominated Concordia St. Paul from the jump. Their defense was eating all day long. Max Van Landingham, Gabe Gutierrez, Jake Adams sets a new program record and tackles. More details about that here in just a second. But the atmosphere, the energy, the complete team performance, offense, defense, special teams for the Wolves there on Saturday, it was all there.
It really was. Defense was spectacular. Offense was just that big play offense that we've seen through the first 3 weeks or 2 weeks of the season. They hit a couple long passes, a couple really nice runs from Hank Kraft on the ground. The tight end Zach Kraft got involved into the action. Just the complete team win. The environment was great, making a lot of noise when CSP had the ball. That's what Gypsy Days is all about there. And Northern State with a dominant win. There's no other way to look at it. That game, you look at the final score, 31-10. I mean, it wasn't even that close. It was dominant.
They really did. They dominated on all assets of the game. Brock Bogosi, very, very economical. 17 for 20 throwing, 197 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 on the ground, 2 through the air. And I asked him in the postgame show, how much do you love throwing like a 5-yard pass or a 2-yard pass, and then the receiver or running back or tight end in this case just does the rest for you? And he's like, oh, it's great. I love it. I love when I can just throw the ball just a couple yards and then those guys do the rest of it. As Zach Kraft went 46 on a little pass that was like 3 or 4 yards. Hank Kraft goes 30 on a little screen play. When the Wolves get the ball in space, they're uber dangerous. It's crazy.
Yeah, and Kraft, the Hank Kraft run was insane. I mean, he made a couple CSP Golden Bears miss. I mean, you mentioned it on the call there. They were on roller skates when they were trying to tackle him. I mean, he's a tough runner, too. How about a couple of his runs?
Yeah.
Just running over, guys. Like, meet me at the hole and see who comes out. And more times than not, it was Hank Kraft coming out the other side.
Yeah, what was the name of that bus that drove me over? Yeah, 21. I mean, he was all over guys. And then when he wasn't driving through them, he was jumping over them.
Yeah, the hurdle.
I mean, he had a hurdle job on a guy. So, I mean, up, down, left, right, I mean, he's going to smack you in the face, and then he'll jump over you. So, pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, it's really funny as well. We had Braylee Brown in when he first got hired, and he mentioned 12 personnel and the tight ends. And how about this tight end, Kraft? 3 touchdowns this year. They're getting those guys involved. Same with Geisler as well. Just in the flat, underneath stuff. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of motion in the backfield, and then, oh, there's the tight end in the flat, wide open. And these guys got speed. So they catch the ball, and they're getting more. It's not like it's a 5-yard gain when these guys touch the ball, as you mentioned. These guys are taking it to the crib.
Yeah, they're big play threats. No two ways about it. And Hank Kraft loves playing against Concordia St. Paul. Last 2 times he's played them, he's rushed for north of 100 yards, 11 carries for a 104, a touchdown reception, and a touchdown on the ground as well. That just pulverized a defensive player there. Wolves' defense was all over Lincoln Graff. He threw for 183 yards as all on 21 completions. They just did not surrender the big play. That was one of our keys to the game there on Saturday.
Yep.
And they had a couple plays here or there, but the game was out of reach anyway. And even when they got the big play, the Wolves' defense would close down in the red zone and force a field goal, which more often than not missed.
Yeah, the special teams for CSP were brutal in the game. No other way to look at it. Kick coverage was the kickoff team or kickoff return team wasn't great, and the field goals weren't good as well. But NSU's defense, what surprises me, or not surprises me, what's incredible about it is they can rush 4 and mm-hmm. get to the quarterback. And that's something that they're going to have to continue to do as the season moves along. When you're playing a Jack Strand and Kyle Wall-Jasper later on down the year, you're going to have to pressure those guys with a 4 or 5-man rush, and they can do that. Gabe Gutierrez, that sack he had in the half, just ran by a guy. I mean, just like, hey, I'm faster, I'm stronger than you. And the defense, they don't give up a big play. I mean, it's like, hey, maybe a seam over the middle every once in a while, but not a long touchdown since that Week 1 game. I mentioned it on Friday, like that game against Sioux Falls is an outlier. They were on the field for, it seemed like, the whole game on defense. They just wore out. It's the first game of the year. Since then, it's been nails on defense.
I think you play if you play USF in Week 7 or Week 8, it's a completely different football game.
No doubt.
And I think that one goes down to the wire again. And even with all of that craziness, your defense is on the field for 59 minutes and 32 seconds. You're still down by 7 with 5 minutes to go with the ball.
They had the ball.
Yeah, down 7.
To tie the game.
Yeah.
They made a turnover, and that was the difference. That's something else the Wolves did a good job. They took care of the football better on Saturday.
They certainly did. And I tell you what, that's a nice win for them against a team that had played them very, very well the last 2 games. And the Wolves now go on the road to Bismarck. You generated some incredible juice at home. How do you generate that on the road? A 2 o'clock kickoff. You were so used to playing 6 o'clock games, USF and Wayne, now you play at 2:30. Okay, no problem. Now you got to play at 2 o'clock on the road at UMary's place, a place that has been unkind to Northern State over the years. And look what USF did, UMary did over against SMSU over the weekend. Now, that's not saying a lot. I know SMSU is not a great football team, but you know, they're a different team this year. Talking about Mary, they're now 2-0 on the Youngs, or 2-2, I should say. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be tough for the Wolves on the road, but if they just continue to complete these processes of getting ready for these games, I like their chances.
Yep, and that's exactly right, too, because you just got to, you know, it's very coach's cliche, but I think this team's just got to take it one game at a time and not look too far ahead, because there's some games on the schedule later on in the year, and you're sitting to yourself, hey, if we take care of business in these 2 games, this could be a game later on down the line where, hey, this could be for the conference title or something like that. So it's important for them to just take it 1 week at a time. And this UMary team, they almost beat Augustana 2 weeks ago.
They almost did.
This team could easily be 3-1. So they got to bring it there on Saturday.
That'll be a 2 o'clock kickoff there from Bismarck. Also of note, within the NSIC, a couple of wild ones. We had Moorhead hosting Wayne State after Northern just basically took care of business, I'll word it kindly, there against Wayne State. And then Wayne comes all the way back, and they go all the way up to Moorhead, and then they kind of dominate the football game. They win it big, 27-17. They led by multiple scores at one point in time in this game. They sacked Jack Strand 7 times as he throws for only 284 yards. That's got to be like a career low for him, feels like. He was intercepted twice as well. That's a quality win for Wayne after what happened to them the week prior against Northern. They beat Moorhead 27-17. Dawson Forgy, 31 carries for 223 yards and 2 scores as a quality win there for Wayne. Mankato big over Jamestown, 36-7. Duluth led it 34-3 over USF. They held on to win it 34-17 as Camden Dean was picked off twice, only 26 yards on the ground there for him in the loss as Kyle Walljasper runs it 16 times for 121 and 4 scores. Duluth, a quality road win there at Bob Young Field.
Yeah, pretty dominant. You look at that score, 34-17. It was not even that close, as you mentioned, 34-3. And Walljasper's just going to do what he does. I mean, didn't have the most efficient day throwing, but the run game was there for him. 121 carries, 4 touchdowns. Tough to stop.
121 yards there. That'd be a lot of carries.
Oh, yeah, what did I say? 124 carries?
121 carries?
Yeah, okay.
That'd be a lot. 121 yards, yeah. But to your point, he is just an absolute stud for sure. We need some coffee over here in the studio. There's no doubt about it. Winona, or I do. Winona, big over Minot, 35-25. Ditto for Mary over SMSU. Augie stays perfect as Bemidji stays winless, 42-14 as the Vikings over Bemidji. And also of note, Dakota State big over Arizona Christian, 44-27 from the weekend, while Northwestern skunks Dakota Wesleyan 23-0.